Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Howdy, mister.
Hello.
You look tired. I don't think I've seen you before. Are you from out of town?
Here and there. From Silvertown, Durango, Colorado. Can I get some whiskey, please?
Sure thing.
Thank you kindly. Now, I'm heavy laden. I'm tired. Y'all have a bath at a hotel for me.
Definitely. Hey, you go run the water over there, please.
Thank you. Now what's gonna run me?
That'll be 6 cents.
Run a tough bargain here, sir. That's probably all I got, but here you go.
Thank you. Now, I do need to warn you, if you're staying, it's kind of a secret about this place.
You got me curious. What you talking about, sir?
Everyone says this place is haunted.
Oh, the ghostly kind. I don't know if I believe in the supernatural he had. Nah, I'm good. Now, I just want that hotel, and I'll be on my way.
You'll be a believer yet, trust me.
Oh, you're going to make me a believer. Well, let's get on it.
Welcome to another edition of Supernatural Station. I'm your host, Roman Daniels, and joined with me is my twin brother, Jaron Daniels.
Howdy do, it's a Friday night.
That it is, TGIF. It's been a kind of a long week for me. How about you?
Oh yeah, it's been running its course, you know, like kind of like a virus, you know, taking a long time to get through it, but happy it's the weekend.
Yeah, I think part of it is just that it's like January, you know, it's like that really slow, kind of draggy time of the year where it's like freezing cold and the sun, you know, can barely pop through these, like, gray clouds that just stick around forever, and it's freezing cold, and, like, 30 degrees every day or 29 degrees, you know, and, yeah, I'm complaining about that, but there's people that have, you know, negative 10, and that, man, I can't imagine.
No. January, you never cease to amaze me. No, I always feel a little more depressed around January. I think, you know, it's like what you just said, it's just dark, it's dreary and stuff, and so, hey, what are we talking about today, though? I'm excited because this is probably one of my favorite subjects. It's been for a while now.
Yeah, we're going to talk about ghost stories and other legends that come from and focus around the Old West.
Yeah, the Old West, the Doc Holidays, the Wyatt Earps, the Jesse James, you know, the Outlaw versus the Railroad. Like, I love this.
Sundance, Curly Bill.
Butch. Oh, yeah, Sundance, Butch Cassidy. They were in Utah for a long time.
Right.
Billy the Kid. Oh, man, I love this stuff.
Yep. So, yeah, we've got a couple stories we're going to go ahead and cover here, and I actually haven't told my brother what I'm covering, and he hasn't told me what he's covering. We just know that it's focused around the Old West. So, raw reactions here in this episode, and we hope you enjoy it.
Yeah, thanks for riding on the Supernatural Station. Here we go.
Yeehaw! I said stick them up! Throw all you got in that bag right there.
Don't you be a hero now. Hey, I see what you got there. Hey, put it down. I'm gonna shoot you. I'm gonna shoot you and your family.
Chill.
Psycho. All right, well, we're gonna go dive into some stories here. Do you want to start with a story? And then maybe I'll kind of dive into one of mine.
Yes. I'm going to be talking about something that's literally kitty corner, right next to us, actually. The Hell Dogs of Nevada.
Oh, dang.
And this one's pretty cool. So it's the El Dorado Canyon, which I kind of want to look up now. I'm not sure where this is at, but it said, the El Dorado Canyon had an incredibly rich history during the days of the American West. In the 19th century, there were tales of miners who had lost their lives in addition to spirits of the Native Americans who previously lived in the same area. But one of the spookiest stories about that area is the spirits of the Hell Dogs that still reside in the Nevada Canyon. Back in the days of shootouts and gold mining, prospectors were known to have their canine companions guard their personal belongings while they were working. Because of those menaces that we were just acting like.
Right. No, that's actually, yeah, if you have a dog, like, it's kind of what I always say, and this still applies today, right? Like, if you go out and camp by yourself or something, like, I'd only do that if I have a dog companion, you know, just because it'll bark and alert you if there's somebody coming and, you know, scare any threat coming in.
And it says that these dogs became vicious as time went on to scare off potential thieves, you know, that's like their only job. Similar like canine dogs, you know, canines are good with their owners, the, you know, police canines, but then they're kind of vicious with everybody else, you know.
Loyal protectors.
Yeah. And so yeah. It said, sadly, many of them were left in the area or shot after the gold ran out. And visitors have claimed now, like there's one from 2016, one from 2019, one from 2020. And then there was one in 78, obviously some older ones, 99, 2002, of different visitors who are in the area that claim that they see dog apparitions roaming and have heard their vicious growls protecting the land. It makes me wonder, though, like, could be a misinterpretation of something, right? Obviously, like a coyote or something, but
yeah,
if they're saying they see apparition, like an apple, you know, does it look like the old TV style ghost where it's like, just shows up and...
Yeah, you know. And actually, as you're reading this, and I haven't read any of my stories or gone into those yet, but some of the ones I was kind of diving into as we were doing research, a lot of these stories really remind me of, like, residual hauntings, you know, like that one, too, where it's, like, you know, just what was happening, it was kind of, you know, planted on...
Time-stamped,
yeah, basically, and it's just kind of on repeat type of thing is kind of what it reminds me of, but it could be intelligent. I haven't heard your whole story, but... And that, by the way, for those of you who don't know, if you're not really interested in the ghost subject or the paranormal subject, you know, when it comes to ghosts and what people think and believe about these things is, like... Like, a lot of people who research this stuff say that there's a couple different types of ghosts and hauntings, and one of them is residual, which is like a repeat stamp on history that just keeps replaying. And then there's one that's like intelligent, right? So like you can ask a question, it'll respond to you, or it'll react to what you're doing, you know, like as if it sees you kind of thing. So yeah, that's interesting, but go ahead and
keep going. That's actually the end of it. It was just saying like there's so many credible occurrences of it. One of them was, and I guess I'll just say this in there, one of the ones from 2020,
oh, wow.
Or 2021, sorry, said that there were some guys hiking, you know, up in this the El Dorado Canyon. They didn't even know about this story, but it said that they were, you know, hanging out in their tent. They just barely had a dinner, kind of later in the day, so it was like 9:30 p.m. and one of them went to bed early, had some drinks and stuff. The other one was wide awake, kind of hanging out by the fire, and that's when he saw like it literally just appear right in front of him. Kind of, it reminds me of like a Native American spirit, like, kind of thing, you know.
Yeah,
but it just appeared to him and it started doing that crazy dog growl, you know, where the teeth are showing and stuff like that.
Again, I'm thinking Skinwalker Ranch, you know, like the black ghost dog things that they were seeing over there that they've, you know, shot at and it did nothing to it really. And, you know, it's like, was that actually like some kind of spiritual entity, kind of like what this was? You know, you never know.
Yeah, so Doug Servak was the guy that stayed awake and he said his friend Michael Smith was already asleep in the tent. And so he tried to wake him up. He was trying to, you know, freaking out, no weapons or anything like that. All he had was his flashlight, and he was aiming the flashlight right at it. And it looked legit. It didn't look like a spirit. Like, it looked like a real thing.
Right.
But it just appeared like a spirit. Like, it materialized, is what he said. And so when he tried to wake his friend up, finally his friend woke up, popped out of the tent, and then he looked back, and the thing was gone. And so then from there, later in the night, it was like 2 or 3 hours later, they heard, like, the growling again, like, near the tent. So it's weird that there's residual like that, and it's probably not even looking right at him. It was probably just looking straight.
You know what I wish that they had? If I was there, right, I'm putting myself in that place and stuff. I wish that I had, like, one of those meters that focus on radio frequency and radiation and that kind of stuff that they're doing, again, at Skinwalker Ranch.
Yeah.
Because... my suspicion is that the, you know, needle would be skyrocketing in those moments, you know, when they're hearing the growling, when they're seeing this entity. I'm sure the radio frequency is way up there and above normal radiation levels. I'm starting to believe that there's something to that, you know. We're living in this weird world that's quantum tied together, like in a strange frequency way. Again, going back to Nikola Tesla and his research and what he kept saying about all that stuff. It's like it's all somehow connected, and we can't see it, you know, but it's there.
Well, we're looking at everything in a 3D dimension, right? But what if there's like the 4D, you know, 4D, 5D dimensions, right? Where it's like, you know, when you're looking at a circle from up top, it's just a circle. But then if you look at it and it's actually a sphere, if you look at it from the side,
yeah,
you know, I think that's kind of what this stuff is. Like it's a loop. Like that loop could just be just energy going and coming right back again, going and coming right back.
Right.
And maybe that time loop, the reason we see, and this is kind of a funny thought, I think we talked about this before, but like a lot of ghosts that are caught around the time we're living now are usually these older ghosts that are from that timeline.
You know? Yeah. Even the one I saw when I was a kid was like a pioneer lady, like from the 1800s, this era, you know, the early 1900s.
So probably. It makes me wonder if that's the time loop. Like now we're at that time where we're going to start seeing those ones. And then, you know, 2067, you know, they're going to see our ghosts, you know, our timeline.
Yeah.
Like who knows, but it's kind of crazy to think about.
It is really weird what you said about the whole 3D, 2D thing. I heard a story recently on another podcast and they were kind of going into that. If you were to imagine what the difference between 2D, 3D, 4D and stuff is, which we are still trying to put our minds around 4D, I think, you know, most people. But like 3D would be like, you know, if you're standing there in a 3D world and a 2D entity showed up, let's say a hand showed up, you would only see like a stick figure version of it, right? And stuff coming through.
Yep.
And then like if it's 4D, we don't even know what that is really. Like in 1D, you know, we probably couldn't see anything. So it's like different waves of existence, right? So... but they're all working together simultaneously and actually existing simultaneously, which is really weird.
Yeah.
That's kind of what that story kept reminding me of, is time loops and then that type of stuff.
Short and sweet, but it gets you to think, you know, and I like the Western, just the idea of like these old Western entities, like, you know, because there was a lot of trauma at that time. You know, it's hard, it's a hard working timeline. You know, I watch the dude that's working on Cerro Gordo's mine.
Oh, yeah.
He's trying to revamp it and stuff. I can't remember what his name is. But I watch it pretty religiously because I think it's really cool what he's trying to do. He's trying to bring back the town and revamp it to what it used to be, but the exact same way, you know, and bring back whiskey from there and, you know, make it vibrant again and all that stuff. And I'm like, that's cool. But you can tell he toils when he's there. He's like by himself and he's like just struggling. He lost all his weight and he just like, you know, every day's a struggle. You never know where your meal's going to come from or what's going to come, you know, of the area. That's just what happens in the West, you know. You're just struggling all the time. And so, I would think that would create energy trauma, you know, that would manifest later.
Yeah, but I have a story. I'll go ahead and just kind of dive into it. And this is just going to be my first tale. But so this comes from the Badlands of the U.S. state of South Dakota, which I really want to go there, by the way. I really want to go check out, you know, Mount Rushmore and, you know, just I want to see like Deadwood.
Me too.
That old town, because I think that old town sort of exists. And you, is that funny that I brought that up? I see you smiling.
Yeah. One of mine has a Deadwood story in it.
Oh, okay. Wow. Interesting. But yeah, so this comes from South Dakota, where the rugged landscape looks very much as it always has. And that's the other cool thing. Like, it hasn't really changed from the Western days to now, right? Looking out over the bleak canyons and jagged peaks of this place, it is easy to imagine one is still in the days of the Wild West. And if the legends are to be believed, that there are some entities that are here as they always have been. According to the book Myths and Legends of Our Own Land by Charles M. Skinner, there is a vengeful spirit that roams the desolate land and strikes fear into the hearts of all who encounter her.
Scary.
One of the many stories of that area is that there is a lone figure of a ghostly woman who lurks about a lonely butte called the Watchdog. Here she has been said to appear since the time of the cowboys and Indians and settlers heading out west. Always by moonlight upon this bleak hill, the phantom is said to approach parties passing through and stand there merely staring, as if waiting for someone to talk to her. Yet when someone tries to call out to her, she will throw up her arms in the air and unleash an unearthly, ear-piercing shriek that echoes about for miles and leaves the stunned party in terror. The banshee will then vanish to leave those in a present state of bewildered fear, the silence of the night crashing back down upon them once again. On some occasions, the entity is seen with a companion in the form of a fleshless skeleton, which is said to approach camps in which music is playing. So it only goes to the ones where you're playing music, right? Kind of reminds me of Bigfoot. It's like the curious, like, kind of play music and it attracts those things for some weird reason, if this is a true thing. But yeah, so it says, is attracted to camps which are playing music, only to ghoulishly sit at the flickering edges of the campfire between light and shadow, bobbing its head to the tune. It is said that if one is to give the apparition an instrument to play, it will do so with breathtakingly skill before vanishing into the night. Although it is said that the music has a hypnotizing quality and that the skeleton will sometimes try to lead people away into the wilderness to vanish. If one becomes too enamored with the music, they are also said to go insane, and it is best not to offer the skeleton a chance to play at all.
Yeah, it's opening up a door. What the heck is that? That sounds crazy.
The butte itself is apparently shunned by cattle and wildlife. We've heard this before with Skinwalker Ranch. Making it even weirder is that the orbs of light and strange electrical phenomenon are also known to frequent the hill.
That also
reminds me of
Skinwalker Ranch. There's always orbs of light around these things, around anything.
No one really seems to know what these spirits are. For some, the woman is a victim of an Indian raid or a murder victim. The skeleton has been said to be the spirit of a cowboy who died in the middle of a song and was never able to finish. No one really knows, but the legend has remained, and those who know of it will still give the Watchdog Butte a wide berth.
Dang.
Yeah.
That sounds like the makings of a Tim Burton movie.
That'd
be a really good Tim Burton animation.
I can just picture that skeleton, like, bobbing its head. For some reason, that was so cool.
Yeah, and I picture, you know, it's funny, I start kind of laugh to myself, but when you're saying how she, like, just stares at people and then throws her hands up when you try to say something and starts screaming all crazy, I'm like, that's like, it's like when you're trying to ask your girlfriend what she wants to eat for dinner that day and, like, she has no answers. You finally get her to the breaking point. Okay! It's like she has that spirit.
Yeah.
I'm picturing like a native girl that maybe looks like she's sad and, you know, staring off into her missed opportunities, maybe. I don't know. It sounds crazy, though. I wouldn't want to hang around that area probably now. Sounds a little intense.
Yeah, for sure.
I think we got to take a break.
Yep.
Horsemen of Texas.
Ooh.
During the days of the Old West, it was the Texas Rangers who protected the Lone Star State from outlaws and gunslinger. It was two rangers, Creed Taylor and William Alexander Anderson Bigfoot Wallace. That guy has the craziest name ever.
I wonder if he just had really big feet or if he like saw a Bigfoot at one point.
Ah, that's a cool thought.
Yeah.
That's why I wanted to talk about this one too. Who would create the legend of El Muerto, the Headless One.
Ooh.
In the 19th century, they were hunting a criminal known as Vidal along the Mexican border. Vidal had been wreaking havoc all over Texas. So when the Rangers caught them, they wanted to set an example. They beheaded him,
Ooh.
Tied his head to the saddle, and sent his horse with his headless body running off into the night. It is said that the headless horseman has still been seen riding in the area night and night after over 100 years later.
Ew.
Now, I don't know if there's any truth to that, but I thought it was really cool. It's like one of those really cool just campfire stories.
Yeah, and if there is some truth, you guys should write us. I want to know for sure. If anybody's, like, you know, from that area and maybe knows some of the lore and legends that, you know, come from truth, that'd be awesome to hear. And we'll do a little bit of research after this, too, and see if there's any truth to it, because now I'm really curious. But, yeah, that's cool. I'm a big fan of, like, the Headless Horseman stuff. Like, I love the Tim Burton movie, Sleepy Hollow, and, you know.
Damn, we're Tim Burton talk tonight.
I guess, yeah. We're throwing his name out a bunch of times, but, you know, he did strike gold again with Wednesday. That was such a cool show. But, yeah, no, the Headless Horseman thing, like, we even Halloween, like, one of my most memorable Halloweens was when that guy from our mom's neighborhood, he had the most authentic looking headless horseman costume, and he actually had horse property. So he had this black horse that he, you know, got on, had this amazing authentic costume.
It was a war horse. It was a bigger
war horse. Yeah,
so it had really tall and cool.
Yeah, it had like armor on its face, had like chainmail. He was wearing armor. He had like a real sword hanging from his like sheath, and
remember,
it was
sometimes
just amazing.
He'd carry the sword up in his arm,
yeah,
like, as he rode down.
Yeah. What a cool thing. And you just hear, all you can hear, like, he won't talk at all, right? He's not supposed to have a head. So you just hear the hoofs just going down the road.
And I remember he used to wear a silver necklace that looked really cool. And you would just hear the hoofs coming down. And you didn't want to say anything to him because it was, like, kind of creepy. He wouldn't even turn his body. He would literally just ride.
Yeah. Made it feel like, are we really seeing this? Or, you know, like, is this, like, our imagination? But, yeah, no. And then he did it, like, a couple years in a row, and the next time we saw him, we're out there waiting for him, and we're sitting there shouting at him this time, like, yeah, like, awesome.
You could tell he likes that, though.
Yeah, but he didn't nod, he didn't, like, wave, you know, just...
Stayed in character
and kept moving like a ghostly apparition would, you know?
Hence the reason we love Halloween.
Yep.
Definitely challenged and grew us into the weirdos we are today. Who said it? I did.
Well, tonight we kind of got a little derailed. We were going to have a guest on tonight, and we were going to talk about some kind of Apache stuff. We have a friend of ours that's Apache, and he was going to go into some lore and some stuff about just history and stuff like that, and also some paranormal type stories from the res and stuff like that. So that was going to be cool, which that'll still happen. We just didn't happen this time. But the reason I bring that up is the next story I'm going to cover kind of talks about our Apache friends, by the way.
Oh, nice. Okay. At least it gives us a little bit of connection to it.
Right. From the rough wilderness of Mount Superstition in Arizona comes the tale of a tribe of little people who are said to have once inhabited the area. These dwarves were said to stand around 3 feet tall, and while they are mostly peaceful, they were on constant guard against their enemies, the Apache and the Zuni. The story here goes that one day a group of Zuni warriors was approaching the hill that the dwarves occupied, and since this meant nothing but trouble, the little people began preparations to defend against the imminent attack. On this occasion, the Zuni were coming here in order to take away a companion the dwarves had made, a pale woman with long flowing white hair, who the Zuni claimed was a witch who had escaped to avoid marrying their chief. When the little people refused to hand her over, the Zuni made preparations to attack, amassing a force of 700 warriors.
No way.
Can you imagine that?
Who are the Zunis?
They're another tribe from Arizona. Yeah. According to the tale, the Zuni rushed in expecting a decisive victory against the little people, but were met with the visage of the pale woman standing before them defiantly, wearing a white robe, her hair blowing in the wind, and completely unafraid of the invading force. The warriors paused only for a moment before approaching their prize with no resistance from the dwarfs, who cowered behind rocks in the caves. It is said that as the wave of warriors rushed closer, the pale woman casually emptied an earthen jar onto the parched earth, and sparks, lightning bolts, and bolts of fire began to erupt from around them, striking down the Zuni warriors and sending them careening off the cliffs. Seeing their companions dropping dead all around in this intense display of fire and lightning, the remaining Zuni fled. It is said that the Apaches also tried to invade the hill and were similarly driven back by the powerful magic of this mysterious witch woman, who became to be known as the Pale-Faced Lightning. It is said that the dwarves were then left in peace with their guardian savior, and that the ghost of the sorceress still haunts the Superstition Mountains to this day. By the way, this story, the reason I wanted to cover this one is because I've heard a lot about the Superstition Mountains lately, and they always have like ball lightning and all these weird lightning phenomenon happening up there. And
so there is truth to that.
Possibly, yeah. I thought it was kind of cool, though.
Wait, did you say lightning with the yellow hair?
It was pale-faced lightning. Oh, that's what they called it. Yeah, but it's weird. Like, where did this companion come from? They said she was a witch, and she was hanging out with these dwarves, like these, like, duende-type characters. Duende. So weird.
You were talking about that the other day.
Yeah.
The little people, yeah, it's a big legend in the native cultures. And let's have a show on the little people at some point just by itself, because it's mischievous, cool. They have insight that humans don't have sometimes. It's kind of a crazy thing. It's a lot like leprechauns for Irish. It's funny how Irish and natives have similar cultures, you know, in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about that with, like, Navajo and skinwalkers. That's very similar to, like, the druids of mm-hmm. the Celtic days, you know, and stuff. And very similar kind of magic practices to make it happen, where you have to kill somebody that's close to you and wear pelts and, you know, do all the shape-shifting stuff. And
the pelts thing, yeah, exactly. And hunting for their stuff and everything. What's weird is this pale witch thing. Like, mm-hmm. that's strange to me that there was, like, a pale woman that the Zuni chief was going to marry.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it could be legend, but there's a chance that, yeah, there was something going on.
Well, and they said she was tall, so I was sitting there thinking, too, of, like, that one story of the tall white aliens in Nevada a little bit. Like, what if she was, like, not even from here? Like, some kind of, like, extraterrestrial, you know, with, like, these weird powers that they couldn't understand back then because it was, like, a day of old.
If you guys want to look into the Nevada aliens with the white hair, where did we hear that about?
All you have to do is look up the tall whites. I don't remember who wrote about it, but it was actually this guy who actually was in the military, and this was back like in the 50s or 60s, I think, somewhere in that range.
Yeah, 60s.
And he was a young kid at that time, but he was stationed in like this really desolate desert.
S4
Nevada kind of place, like almost like Area 51 type of place. Mm-hmm. And he didn't know what his job was or what his task was, but you'll have to look it up. I won't go too in detail in it, but he would, you know, he was out there and he started seeing, you know, these, what he thought were mountain goats out in the distance, these white mountain goats, but with these big black eyes staring at him. But
that one fascinates me.
As he discovered, as time went on, because of, he kind of got the crap end of the stick, right? Like some of these military guys put him on this job. job because they didn't want to do it because they were terrified. He had no idea what he's going into, but yeah, he, you know, had all these encounters with these beings from another planet that, yeah, and they were these tall beings with these pale white skin, white hair, really big black eyes, taller than us. And I remember one part of the story that was really fascinating. The guy, right, the main guy that was telling the story that encountered this, fell at some point or something and scraped his arm or his leg or something and was bleeding. And the next time he encountered, and one of these beings saw it happen, these alien things, and the next time they saw him was like 2 weeks later, and it was like almost, it was gone. It was like completely healed up. And they were, these alien creatures were completely baffled. They actually spoke English, and they were like, how in the world are you healed? And they were basically telling him that it takes them way longer to heal than it does us, like on this planet. Maybe it's something to do with our gravitational field or something.
So hopefully that gives you guys some hope that we're not as weak as everybody says we are.
Yeah.
These aliens that are going to attack Earth or whatever, if that ever happened. Just know, guys, humans are actually pretty bad, eh? Like,
yeah.
We got healing capabilities. We're bigger than most aliens. You know, you never know.
Well, I know we are because they say we're made in the image of God, right?
Oh, yeah.
So that makes me know that there's, you know,
yeah, we can
some
scrap.
Power there.
We can scrap and scrape, you know?
Yeah.
I ain't scared. Okay, so now we got to go get ourselves some Sportsters, Rome, get put our last name on it, and, you know, head down to Sturgis. That'd be really cool to see in person. And see all this other stuff we're talking about, because I have another story about South Dakota and Deadwood. So here we go. So the Bullock Hotel in Deadwood, South Dakota. Story is when the Wild West legend Seth Bullock first moved into town of Deadwood, which, shout out Deadwood, that show. That was a pretty cool show. He opened up the hardware store with his longtime partner, Sol Star. I wonder if that was a native guy. Sol Star.
Yeah,
which
possibly.
Means sun and star.
Yeah.
Isn't that kind of cool? Following the death of the Wild Bill Hickok, which is also in that show, he was even appointed sheriff and was able to clean up the once wild town. After their hardware store burned down, which who knows what the heck happened there, Bullock and Star built the finest hotel in town, the Bullock Hotel. The Bing Bang Glitz and Glamour, the Bullock Hotel. Love it. After Bullock passed away, though, in 1919, crazy number, his beloved hotel turned into a ghostly hotspot. Many believed his spirit remained behind to ensure things are running smoothly. Guests have been known to see this spirit, his specific spirit, in the halls or restaurant. They feel a tap on their shoulder or even hear their name called out specifically. Staff members have seen an increase in paranormal activity any time that they're standing idle. That's the funniest part. It says, no doubt Bullock, being the owner of the hotel, is telling them to get back to work. Who knows, but that's pretty crazy. I wonder what happened to Sol Star and how long that person lived, because that was the partner. But it seems legit, because they literally described the ghost looking just like him. You know, full body apparition. So that's pretty cool.
It is cool, yeah.
All right, all mine have been kind of short and sweet, which is kind of fun, I think, because it just gets you thinking, right? But the next one's about Jesse James. His family farm is supposedly one of the most haunted hotspots of paranormal activity. What do you think, Rome? Who's your favorite Western figure? Do you have a favorite? Just curious.
I like Wyatt Earp. I know that's super basic, but and Doc Holliday. I like those Tombstone guys.
Yeah.
You know, and I probably haven't done enough research. Billy the Kid, too. I really like Billy the Kid.
Yeah.
His story is cool. I'd probably go with Wyatt Earp, though.
I think I like Billy the Kid and Wyatt Earp. My favorite, though, is probably Wyatt Earp and Jesse James. I like Jesse James because he was very notorious for just going at it. And then also Sundance and Butch Cassidy. Those guys were crazy, man.
Forgot about those two. How could I forget, right?
Yeah.
We're Utah.
They ended up getting in a shootout, too, just like Bonnie and Clyde.
You know?
Very similar.
Yeah.
But so the Jesse James family farm, it says, perhaps one of the most legendary outlaws of all time was the notorious Jesse James. Shout out Brad Pitt for playing him on the movie, too. He actually did a really good job on that. I was surprised. I actually recently watched that. But his family farm in Kearney, Missouri, which we have a friend out there, by the way. Shout out, Billy.
Shout out, Billy. What's up?
But his family farm in Kearney, Missouri is believed to be a hotspot of paranormal activity. It's a place where James met his untimely death. That's exactly where he died. His younger brother, Archie, was killed by the Pinkerton detectives, where James was initially buried so that his mother, Zerelda, could protect his body. For over 100 years, it's believed that the spirits reside all over the property. It makes sense, though, when you consider the property dates back to the Civil War.
Yeah.
Visitors claim that they have seen witnessing flickering lights and hear the sound of horse hooves in the dirt, gunshots, and crying in the night. And then you hear whispers of somebody saying, hey.
Trying to get your attention.
And it sounds like a spitting image of Jesse James. So,
wow.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, that's... They probably didn't have anything to record his voice back then, right? Like, I don't think I've ever heard an actual recording of his voice, but I'm sure they have it somewhere, maybe. I don't know. All right, well, I have another one that's it's definitely from that time frame, probably even before that time frame. This is, like, ancient stuff. Yeah, no, so this is about the Chindi. Have you heard of the Chindi?
Uh-uh.
So this is the ghost created by a dying breath. The Navajo believed that death could be a dangerous business. According to the legend of the Chindi, a person's dying breath could contain everything bad or out of harmony about them, and it could become a ghost made from their worst traits. As this Native American ghost story goes, once set loose, the Chindi is said to cause serious harm to the living. After all, they're filled with the most desperate and dire human characteristics, like hatred, jealousy, and greed. They can inflict ghost sickness, which causes hallucinations and death, on anyone who crosses their path. Navajo legend maintains that destroying the deceased belongings or refusing to say their name could prevent the Chindi from causing serious harm. Alternatively, they tried to ensure that people died outdoors. That way, the vengeful spirit would disappear in the wind, usually in the form of a dust devil. If the whirlwind spun counterclockwise, that meant that the person who died had a great number of evil habits. Some Navajo peoples who allegedly employed ghost beads to fend off vengeful Chindi spirits, these were often hollowed out berries or turquoise strung together. But the Navajo couldn't always control where someone died. If a tribal member died indoors, usually in a Navajo dwelling called a hogan, then the living had few options. The Chindi now allegedly controlled the residence, so the living abandoned it. Some people, however, were said to have used the Chindi for their own evil devices. Navajo medicine men would allegedly summon a Chindi to attack someone who wronged them. Other myths claim that the Navajo witches could poison someone with ghost sickness by taking a piece of the corpse and making it into a bead or powder, and then slipping it into somebody's food.
Oh no, that's Hannibal Lecter stuff right there. That's, relax, I just want to take some pictures kind of vibe. Here's the problem. That sounds like, you know, you could totally fall for that. You know, you could fall for it, like, thinking it's hominy, you know, like yeah. a piece of, like, a veggie of some sort, you know? Like, how are you going to know? Mm-hmm. Who's going to know? That's what's scary, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is creeping me out.
Given that in modern times, most deaths occur indoors, there's no telling how many Chindi could be running amok. You know what this reminds me of, though? I was sitting there looking at it, and I just started, like, breaking down the word Chindi, chin.
Yeah.
I was thinking of, like,
very similar.
The Middle Eastern jinn, right? Which is also the origin of the genie. And there's so many different cultures that have similar verbiage, you know, something that sounds sort of similar, and it's a very similar type of being, like this
thing. Always like a demonic, out of dimension.
That can possess and cause harm and damage. And,
yeah. And they're always against people. Like, they're literally, like, not the friend of people.
You yeah. know,
and that's really scary. And that's, again, we're tying European stuff or Eastern stuff with the West, and it's weird because
yeah,
that's, there you go, there's more proof that there's this stuff might be real, because nobody was talking back then. Nobody's, hey, I'm texting you right now about this thing I'm seeing over here in Europe, and I'm texting you over here in Utah. It's like, no, that's not happening. Back then, yeah. There's no way to communicate like
that. About all they had were maybe letters and you know, old traditions that were pretty much spoken, and just, and there yeah, was no exactly. texting, there was no internet, there was no calling, you know, really.
So we have to give some credence to that, you know?
Yeah.
As scary as it is, like, this world is crazier than people think it is, I would say.
Oh, yeah.
Look at that, that's crazy. The Chindi, you're so right, sounds almost the same.
But that's the thing, that's kind of what I hope, that's kind of what the purpose of our show is to cover all these different topics, right? And then all of a sudden find the common ground in them and find, like, what ties them all together. Because I really believe, and this is just my belief, and it's okay if we all have different ideas, and I think that's really good and healthy for all of us to have different options of what we think is going on. But I really think that a lot of this stuff is connected, and a lot of, you know, myth is actually true. I think a lot of these old lore and legends are actually real things based in real, you know, based in fact. And
yeah,
and so that's kind of why I like going back to some of these older stories and old traditions. And that's why I really want to talk to some of these like old Native American people that have all the knowledge that was passed down, you know, and it's, again, it's all oral history. And that's why I wanted to throw a few Native American stories in here, because it's just really cool stuff. And it's one of my favorite things, but there are people, historian type people, that are really into the Old West. And you know, we definitely are missing a lot of really good stories. I'm sure someone's listening like, man, I can't believe they're missing this story that...
Yeah, the Washoe right? Club, or there's all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, the Washoe, you know, Club,
that's
that,
famous.
And I mean, that's not even that far from us. We got to go visit that place one of these days and do an actual paranormal investigation. Hey, why don't we bring our paranormal portal guys over there, and
right?
We'll just take a whole road trip together.
Yeah, Brett, Don, you guys come with us. Let's do this. If you guys are down, we're down.
As long as I'm getting flaming hot Cheetos, I'm coming. That's my road trip snack of choice.
I like dill pickle, sesame seeds, and I like Skittles here and there. Now that I know they're bad for you, I'm not a huge fan of them anymore. I knew they're candy. They're still bad for you, but there's something weird going on with Skittles.
Yeah.
And then cowtails. Hey, shout out cowtails. Who's a fan of cowtails? Throw your hands up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's good stuff. I like talking about this stuff. And definitely, Roma, I'm with you. It's Arizona and Nevada trips, you know, coming up soon. And also right. Durango. We're going to hit up Durango and do that train.
Definitely have to do that. And you know, as I was doing a little bit of research, too, and, you know, you guys already know who listen to us, you know, faithfully, that we're Utahns. We're from Utah. And there was actually a lot of little stories that came from Utah as I was
Carbon
reading
County
about.
Mine disasters.
Yeah, Carbon County. And then, you know, of course, we've talked about Schofield multiple times. times, you know, because we, you know, it's very close to us. And that was the winter quarters mine disaster of 1900. But you know, this and that place, I mean, you go there, and again, we're beating a dead horse because we've talked about it before, but you go there and you
just step outside the car and you feel
it. You just feel the energy up there. It's like, it's this deep sadness, this deep trauma, right? Like this just,
yeah,
it's just weird. But and then at nighttime, it's even worse. Like when there's, you know, no sun out.
Don't forget, we've had two valid EVPs there in the cemetery. I sound like Zach Bagans right now. We had two valid EVPs in the cemetery at night, different years. So we were over there last year doing this, right? And then we did it like when we were in 2008 or something.
Yep.
And we were standing next to the same tombstone.
Yep.
And it was a British gentleman that died in the mine disaster. I don't remember what his name is, but we could tell he was British because it said it on his tombstone.
I'm thinking William Emerson, but it might have been like something else. Yeah.
But Rome was talking, you know, via EVP, you know, trying to have a conversation with something out there, entities, whatever. It gets dangerous. I don't suggest doing it. I'm always more scared when we're doing that. He's on this recent one last year. He caught an EVP that was the exact same voice we had from 2008. It's the same person.
And guess what, friends? We're going to play that for you right now.
All right, let's do it.
So I'll just give you a little backstory. So yeah, I was with my cousin Sean and my brother, and you know, we were up there, and this usually the trifecta of the three of us. We always talk about it. It's this weird mixture. When the three of us happen, it's like that triangle, right?
We all have Hopi blood.
The number three, too.
Yeah, number three. There's some reason going on there.
We always get better evidence when it's the three of us, and it feels like the, you know, the paranormal activity amplifies. And we're up there, and I was by myself, and I kind of just started wandering because I was kind of being brave and not feeling like anything was going on. And I wandered off and I kind of sat on this little, it wasn't a gravestone, obviously I would never do something like that, but I was sitting on this something that was up there.
It was like a little stool thing.
Yeah, right, something that was meant for sitting kind of thing. And I was, you know, I was by myself and I was like, oh, okay, you know, this, nothing's going to happen here. And I was recording, not expecting anything, but I do get this EVP and, you know, I'm sure some of you are going to listen to this and say, oh, this is fake, this is forged. But it wasn't. And it was crazy because, so we recorded that night. We didn't listen to it that night. We went to bed, you know, in our tents and
stuff. Couldn't hear it in the naked eye, of course, or naked ear. You couldn't hear it, but.
And it's a different frequency. It's like what we talked about before, that 3D versus 2D type of thing, right?
But before you play this too, in 2008 or so, when we used to be really prevalent in ghost hunting, my cousin Sean, my brother and myself, we were up in that same cemetery. And like I was saying, it was the same voice. And the last one that we caught said, we thought it said, no way. And we'll find that recording at some point, but it said, no way, and it had like the British accent like that. Instead of no way, it was no way.
But we think it actually said go away, right?
Yeah, later now we're realizing he's saying go away.
Yeah.
And because this one also adds to that.
Yeah. So I'm just going to play it right now, and you guys can, you know, decide for yourself. But I will promise you, you know, this is just Scout's honor. You know, I'm swearing to God right now in front of all of us, and that's honest truth.
We're not playing games here.
We didn't edit this at all whatsoever. This is just straight as it came. So I'll just play it for you, and we hope you enjoy it. So this one here.
Are you at peace? Can I help you in any way, or are you okay? What can I do to help?
All right, so that's that was it. So I don't know if you caught it, but we'll play it one more time. So I ask, you know, are you at peace? You know, you can kind of hear me asking the question, are you at peace? Is there anything I can do to help you kind of thing? And, you know, it was like, it was maybe 8 seconds later, and then a really whispery voice comes back, and what I believe it says is, you can't. It sounds like, you can't, like this whispery voice,
and if
right?
you really hear it, it almost sounds like, you can't help me, something. Like, it kind of muffles into
like
that.
Like, it kind of muffles off as it's
and it's, again,
still
sort
saying
of a
something.
British accent, you know?
Yeah, so we'll play it one more time here.
Are you at peace? Can I help you in any way, or are you okay? What can I do to help?
So there you have it. Yeah. So obviously we don't want to force you to believe what this is. You know, we don't want to tell you, like, you have to believe this is a ghost voice. We don't even know what it was, right? But what a shocker when, you know, we're up in this cemetery. There's nobody in this town. Like, there's probably, like, two people that live there year-round. Like, it's the tiniest little ghost town. It's probably getting smaller as far as who lives there year-round. And, you know, it's more of just, like, a summer place you go during the summer. We're there, you know, and it was early summer. You know, there was, I don't know, there was nobody there. And we're up in the at the nighttime, you know, when there's nobody around. They're all sleeping inside their cabins, their houses, or their tents, if anybody's around.
Yeah, and the houses are far enough away. You're not so far hear anything. And honestly, behind the cemetery is literally just canyon backdrop.
There's yeah, actually, just for visual, for those who follow us on Instagram, I'll post a picture of the Schofield Cemetery so you can kind of get a good glimpse of where we were at when we were doing this and when we recorded the sound. But yeah, it was weird. You know, we getting breakfast in the morning and making our pancakes or whatever, and we're listening to what we did last night, you know, to the recordings, and that's when it all hit us. We're like, what in the world?
Shocked us,
like,
yeah.
Holy crap. All of us got chills and went through our, you know, our body and stuff, like a nervous system reaction and stuff. So yeah, we hope you enjoyed it. And I think we're probably going to do another episode in the future that's really focused heavily on EVPs and potentially even like Bigfoot Sasquatch sounds, supposed Sasquatch yeah. sounds. I kind of want to do one that's fully focused on those supposed real recordings, right? Because I think it's kind of interesting. And
I mean, and not a lot of you listeners maybe, and I'm not saying not a lot of you, but maybe some of you haven't looked into those types of things. And so
right.
if we could put it on one place and say, hey, these are our raw discussions, what we think it is, isn't it crazy that this came out of Ohio, or isn't this crazy that this came out of Texas, or,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's a lot of stuff that come out of Ohio, especially with the Bigfoot sort of side of things and Dogman and stuff. But yeah, it'd be fun. It'd be really fun to get those out there. And we have some EVPs from like old days that we could even
yeah.
show off on top of that.
Yep, for sure. But yeah, we hope you enjoyed this episode. We're about, you know, 45 minutes in or so. So we're going to call it, I think, and we'll definitely have our Apache friend Ray on next time. He's planning on joining us. We're going to do that tonight, but we'll do this a different time. But yeah, we hope you enjoyed it. And who doesn't love the Old West, right? We're big fans over here of just the history of it and stuff. And, you know, we live here in Utah. We're so close to like the Four Corners and, you know, Durango, like you brought up, and all these different places. And so it just a lot of raw history around here of, you know, old gunfighters and, you know, bounty hunters and all that fun stuff, you know.
Yep.
It's really fun to pay attention to. And then, of course, you know, all that blood, right, all the killing, the shooting and stuff is definitely going to cause traumatic deaths. And then, of course, maybe ghosts come from that because, you know, their life abrupted,
yeah,
you know,
a lot of lives
abruptly died.
Short.
Yeah, yeah.
Families getting, you know, dispersed. Like, it's
right.
tough, you know.
Right.
But yep. yeah, thank you guys for riding with us on the Supernatural Station. I need to see your tickets, please, or you're not going to be able to ride again. Just kidding.
And we hope you share the show. It's one of the ways that we grow and the way that we can continue to improve the show.
Yes, please share the show. Please like it. You know, give us some feedback.
Yeah.
Tell us stories. We still have yet to have a lot of stories be sent to us. We'd love to have your guys' true stories told.
I will say I do have one. Well, I have two really that I want to cover that were actually emailed into us. So if you're a listener that sent us some of those stories,
we haven't forgotten.
No, we haven't forgotten about you, and we're definitely going to do it. We're just waiting for the right time, and I think we're going to do it on more of a ghost focused show because some of these stories that came in are ghost focused, and we're just waiting for the right time on it. We haven't forgotten you, and we're definitely going to cover it. And we really appreciate you writing into us and giving us the time, you know, to share yes. your experience.
We have some witnesses coming up that are going to be ghost-related, you know, that are family members, my mom, my grandma, together probably, and then we'll have those stories taught or told at the same time probably
yeah.
or something close to it. I mean, this yep. is the cool thing about Supernatural Station, right, is like this is, you know, ghosts go hand-in-hand with the Supernatural Station. We'll probably have more of that than we do almost anything else eventually, you know. That's just what happens because that's the most prevalent that you see.
Right.
Yeah, thank you guys. You rock. You guys truly rock.
We appreciate you guys, and tune in next time. Thank you so much.
Where's my duster jacket? Where is it? What kind of crazy savage place are you running here?
Now, hold on a second. What's going on here, sir? What's going on?
I witnessed something I can't explain up there. I gotta get out of here. Give me my money back. My
no,
six
no,
cents.
No, no, no. Hold on a second. No refunds. I told you. I warned you about this. This place is haunted. I told you. You didn't believe me.
I had to kill you on the spot.
Hold on there, mister.
Now, this here's a six shooter. You give me my change back.
You shoot me and I'm coming back to haunt you. You want that?
I'll be on my way.
Get out of here.
I'm telling everybody, don't come here. I tell you, don't come here.
Don't you come back, sir. Don't bring any of your friends.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.